Well, a few years back, I first came face to face with this smiley face, weird looking hatchback from Ferrari. The Ferrari FF was it. It smiled at me with this weird looking grin. And after a little while, I had to smile back at it, understanding why the FF was here and what it was meant for the Ferrari label. Grand touring cars have been part of the Ferrari stable since its very inception, and Ferrari has always had one. Everybody thinks of the Ferrari brand as being sports cars, supercars, and hypercars. But in the background, Ferrari has always had its GT counterparts. And today, Autolux is going to take a look at the evolution of the Ferrari Grand Touring products. Because behind every Enzo, everybody needs something more comfortable to go skiing and weekend in. And that's why we need an FF. Welcome back to the Autolux Podcast. I'm your host, as always, the doctor to the automotive industry, Mr. Everett J., coming to you from our main website at autolux.net. If you haven't been there, stop by, check it out, read some of the ratings, check out some of the reviews, and check out the Corporate Links website page for all of the automotive corporations from around the globe. Big or small, we have them all on the autolux.net Corporate Links website page. And if you're a teacher or a university professor, or even just somebody looking for some information or help, check out the Autolux help pages. From admins to car complaints, we can help you make that final decision in purchasing your new vehicle, all from the Autolux.net website. The Autolux Podcast is distributed by Ecom Entertainment Group and hosted by Podbeam.com. I am your host, Everett J., the doctor to the automotive industry, and this is the Autolux Podcast. So like I said in the beginning, Grand Touring products from Ferrari. Every major sports car player out there has Grand Touring products. Hell, even the first Lamborghini was a 350 GT. It was more of a Grand Touring product than an actual sports car. Sure, it only had two seats, but it was still in the comfort level of a touring product. Now, Ferrari is a name that's so synonymous with Formula One and racing that we all forget that even Enzo himself needed to get around in a little bit more comfort. Sure, he loved to cruise around in his Lancia, but he had demands from consumers that they wanted something a bit more comfortable to move around in. Enzo wasn't having anything to do with this because Enzo built racing cars. He didn't build sedans, wagons. He didn't build coupes. He didn't build comfortable cars. He built ones to go as fast as effing possible. He needed to outdo the competition, and his fight with Maserati was always there. But eventually, he understood the fact that he has consumers and he needs to pay his bills. And giving in to what the consumers want may just be what he really needs to do to prop up his business to build his faster and better cars. Like Enzo Ferrari once said back in the 80s, "I don't build sports cars, I build racing cars. I sell you a sports car so I can go racing." He didn't give a crap about what you wanted to drive from the office to home. He only cared about winning at the track. So it comes as a bit of surprise that he would actually have Grand Touring products. But like we said, consumers wanted them. In 1952, he released his first, the Ferrari 250 GT Coupe. Not necessarily one of the top comfortable or performing Ferraris of all time. It was still utilized for racing, but it was built more as a 2+2 for you and two friends to comfortably cruise the back roads. And like we said, Ferrari wanted to go racing. He didn't want to build comfort level vehicles, but he still built the 250 GT Coupe. Having coupe in the name kind of signified he was retracting on a statement of building only racing cars. Coupe meant it was more in line with standardized products. But this is Enzo Ferrari. He had to do it in a Ferrari standpoint. Lasting from 1952 to 1964, the Ferrari 250 GT Coupe became the comfort level of the Ferrari stable. By 1963, the 330 GT 2+2, and in 1967, the GT 2+2 Shooting Brake showed up to give us what we really wanted in comfort levels for Ferrari. The 330 GT was just that, a Grand Touring product. It was comfort level with Ferrari power. It's a vehicle you brought to go skiing on the weekends, or the one that you took from home to the office. This wasn't the Ferrari that you and your girlfriend would go out and cruise the back roads on the weekend. No, this was the Ferrari to get you around. Although not looking like a standardized Ferrari, it still stood a standpoint in the Ferrari stable, creating the 2+2 shooting brake allowed for Ferrari to give you a little bit more into the world of performance vehicles. Now, competition across the road at Lamborghini was already getting into this as well. Lamborghini understood that he needed to build cars for everybody as well. Creating the Lamborghini Espada, he essentially entered more of a shooting brake concept. And like we said, with the 67 Ferrari 330 GT 2+2 shooting brake, Ferrari understood this as well. He needed something a little bit more comfortable for all of his people to get around in. And by 1963 to 1973, the GTB4 and the GTB4 shooting brake became his top tier of comfortable level of Ferrari performance. He knew luxury and comfort was there, and he knew that people wanted comfort. And by releasing the 365, which also backed the Daytona, he could still have the Ferrari appeal with creating creature comforts for the consumers he wanted to keep. Ferrari didn't want to lose to the competition across the road in Lamborghini. He wanted to keep those people in a stable. And in 1972, he released the Ferrari 365 GT4 2+2 coupe. This lasted all the way to 1989, and during its time, it got bumped in horsepower to becoming the Ferrari 400 GT from 76 to 79. But again, this is in Ferrari fashion. These are two-door vehicles with four seats in them. It was essentially the grand touring product. It was the comfort level of Ferraris. It's what you used to get around in comfort levels. Grand touring products are something every major sports car manufacturer has. Hell, even McLaren has a McLaren GT for this single wholeheartedly purpose of having a comfortable vehicle for high-end clients to get around in. But like we said, Ferrari didn't like this perception of his vehicles. He didn't want grocery getters. He wanted full-in sports cars. So he played around with the idea of creating a GT that still looked like a Ferrari. 1980, Ferrari released the Pina Concept, a four-door sedan concept car. It had a 4.9-liter Fiat 12 engine, and it was built to compete against the Jaguar XJ, Maserati Quattroporte, and Mercedes-Benz 450 SEL. Enzo viewed his Fiat 131 inadequate that he drove around in and commissioned a Ferrari sedan concept. So by the late 70s and early 80s, even Enzo himself was starting to say that the competition was getting too light in the pedals. He wanted performance and he wanted to get there fast and have fun. But he wanted to do this in Ferrari fashion. He just didn't want something that looks like a sedan. No, he wanted something that was a sedan. He wanted something extraordinary to take him from place to place. Unfortunately, the Pina concept never made it to production, whereas the financial tables turned for Ferrari in the worst in the 1980s, only up until the F40 was released. But the idea of a Ferrari sedan was sitting in the back wings. Gotta remember, this is the 80s. This is the same point in time that Porsche was playing around with the idea of building a sedan. Unfortunately, Porsche would greenlight that project by the early 2000s. In Ferrari fashion, he kept with the nice comfort levels of his vehicle. Big engines in comfortable vehicles. 92 to 97, Ferrari had the 465, then the 465 GT Venice, the 465 GT Saloon. Moving from there, we had the comfort levels of the Ferrari 550 Maranello and the 575 Maranello. V12 powered grand touring products. These things weren't just comfortable, they were fast. It was a Ferrari by Ferrari standards. And that's what Ferrari always wanted. He wanted comfortable and yet fast. Because remember, he only built cars to go racing with. He didn't build cars for your comfort level. By 2004, he released one of the biggest V12 engines the Ferrari could have, the 612 Scaglietti. This was a long in the tooth car. But if you've ever seen one in real life, you would understand that this was the Ferrari that Enzo himself wanted when he built the Pina concept sedan. He didn't want a sedan. He wanted a fun, fast car with a comfort levels similar in line to Mercedes, Maserati, and Jaguar. And the 612 Scaglietti was just the beginning. Quickly followed up by the 599 GTB for Fiorano. And then, with the 599 showcasing that it's got more track prowess than the 612, the grand touring cars of Ferrari were taking a turn for more of the conventional sports car arena. The 612 didn't last as long as everybody had wanted to. Sure, it still made 7 years of production, 2004 to 2011, but it needed something even more. By this time, Porsche released the Panamera, Aston Martin with the Rapide. Lamborghini was considering the Estoque and Lotus. Well, although being almost on its heels, being owned by Proton and not having it, was still playing around with the idea of building its own sedan. sedan. Everybody was looking at performance sedans for the future. And Ferrari knew that Grand Touring products were making changes towards the future. The 612 was a Grand Touring car, but Ferrari needed something more. Consumers were starting to demand from Ferrari a sedan. They wanted something to go up against the Panamera. And similar to that of consumers from Lamborghini, Ferrari wasn't willing to bend over backwards for its consumers. We're an exclusive brand, and we don't give in to what people want. We build Ferraris, and that's how Ferrari maintains its exclusivity and its high command over its prices. Ferrari is an exclusive brand, and Grand Touring products may be something that it needs, but that's all it needs. Everybody thinks they need a sedan, but Ferrari, knowing that's a sedan when the Panamera came out, was something of more of a relic. They chose to bypass the sedan platform and give us, in 2011, the Ferrari FF, that smiley-faced Grand Touring hatchback. But really, what is the FF? Is it a Grand Touring car? Is it a hatchback? Is it a shooting brake? Huh. When you really look at it, the FF is essentially the combination of a Grand Touring product with the versatility of a shooting brake. It blends the lines between a GT and a hatchback. Ferrari finally gave us a Grand Touring product that we could fit all of our products in and go skiing on the weekend while still maintaining that Ferrari prowess. They didn't give in to consumer demand and give us a sedan like everybody else was trying to give us. No, they gave us something completely different. And being void of two extra doors, the FF, and eventually its predecessor, the GTC 4 Lusso, would showcase to us even more fun GT power. Ferrari was evolving with the times, but they weren't giving in to products that could water down its image. And that's one thing that Ferrari really doesn't want to do. Where companies like Lamborghini have given us the Urus and Porsche has given us the Cayenne, Ferrari doesn't want to give in and give us those products that everybody demands. They don't want to water down their image. And if you listen to our podcast about the destruction of the Porsche, you understand that they've watered down their brand. Lamborghini has somewhat done this with the Urus as well. But Lamborghini only has the Urus because they don't have a Grand Touring product. And creating a product in the active lifestyle vehicle marketplace is the only way you can build one towards a sports car brand that doesn't diminish the image of the sports car brand. Porsche built a dedicated SUV and a dedicated sedan. Hell, they've even built a dedicated station wagon and Crosstrek with the Panamera and the Panamera Cross Turismo. They have those mainstream product lines. So today, when you think of Porsche, you don't think of running in the same leagues as Ferrari, Lamborghini, and McLaren. You think of Porsche running in the same lines as someone like Lotus now, just a standard company that built sports cars. They're the Aston Martins. See, Aston Martin got away with building the Rapide without watering down their brand because Aston Martin was already seen as a high and luxury brand. They weren't that high-end supercar brand that Ferrari and Lamborghini were. They're high-end. They run on the same lines as products like Rolls-Royce and Bentley, just with a little bit more performance behind them. Well, Ferrari still knew that the GTC 4 Lusso was hitting the end of its timeline. They would have to replace it with something. The 812 Superfast became its minor Grand Touring product as a bridge between the GTC 4 Lusso and Ferrari's Grand Touring future. Ferrari's Grand Touring future was going to blend the lines even further. Where Ferrari had said no to building a sedan, they did say yes to building an active lifestyle vehicle. The Purisang, when it was released in 2023, was built to go up against the likes of the Aston Martin DBX, the Lamborghini Urus, and the Lotus Electra. The Cayenne, you may think it was after, but the Cayenne was still more in the same lineups of a BMW X4 and Mercedes GLC. It had watered itself so far down that it wasn't the performance-oriented product that we once loved. The Purisang, unfortunately, was Porsche's additive to keeping their consumers happy. And active lifestyle vehicles blend the lines of so many great products together. It essentially took the best of the Pinacon concept, the GTC 4 Lusso, and added higher ground clearance to it, while also adding two extra doors. But they did it in Ferrari fashion, where you can hardly even distinguish that there are four doors on a Purisang. From far away, you'd be hard-pressed to tell that that product has four doors. You would automatically think it's just a high-riding version of the GTC 4 Lusso. But no, it's not. It's the first in history production four-door touring product from Ferrari. Ferrari was here, and now they had blended crossover utilities, sports cars, hatchbacks, and even crossovers all into one main model. And they did it in a better fashion than Lamborghini did with the Urus and Ford did with the Mustang Mach-E. The Purisan looked more like a sports car than anything else. And even though its ground clearance was higher than your standard Ferrari, it still looked like a regular Ferrari. The Purisan kept what Enzo always wanted for his car company. One, exclusivity, because the Purisan isn't going to be built in mass quantities, and Ferrari is not willing to boost its numbers just so they can make more money. They want to keep the Purisan exclusive. And two, they did it in a fashion where this vehicle looks the part of a Ferrari. It looks like an SF8 shooting brake. The Purisan is essentially the evolution of the Grand Touring product from Ferrari. When you go from the original 250 GT Coupe of the 1950s all the way up to the Purisan of today, you could see how Ferrari has evolved in true Grand Touring fashion, never giving in to public demand for greater products with more interior space and more creature comforts, almost giving in the 80s to building a better vehicle than the Maserati Quattroporte. Ferrari held back and didn't give in, like so many others did. Lamborghini gave in and gave us the LM001. Porsche gave in and gave him the Cayenne. Aston Martin gave us the Lagonda. And Lotus. Lotus has even put their name on a Ford Cortina in the Vauxhall Carlton. They've gone mainstream. Ferrari still has not. The active lifestyle vehicle marketplace is the perfect place for Ferrari to finally give us the high riding product we always demanded and give us the Grand Touring product with the maximum amount of space that we always dreamed of from a Ferrari. The FF and the GTC4 Lusso were just the beginning of creating a hatchback model. And the only thing that we ever asked Ferrari is, why did they never build an FF or GTC4 Lusso as a Crosstrek model? Because even as a Crosstrek model, the GTC4 Lusso still would have kept Ferrari fashion in play, as long as they made the Crosstrek version with a lot less plastic cladding that most companies use when they build their trekking models of their vehicles. That is the only market that is really pulled back from. Crosstreks, besides the ALVs, may be the only other standpoint Ferrari has to giving us a more mainstream comfort product. But really, in the end, do we ever demand and want a Ferrari just for its comfort level? Or do we all just want a Ferrari because it's fun, it's fast, and it's sexy? Ferrari Grand Touring products. It's what happens when you create a little creature comforts in a sports car manufacturer. So do you believe the Purisan is a proper way of giving us our high market, high demand product from Ferrari? Or do you think it really could have been done a little bit better? Do you really think that they should have given us a Crosstrek version of the GTC4 Lusso or even the FF? Or hell, should Ferrari have originally gone in and given us the Pina sedan back in the 1980s? Send us some comments and send us an email. Go to the bottom of this podcast and tell us your comments about what product you believe Ferrari should have created first. Do you think the Purisan is what we all demanded, or do you think they should have given us something a little bit sooner? Or do you really think that the sooner products would have watered down these products a lot more? Let us know. So if you like this podcast, please like, share, or comment about it, and click the link at the bottom. Click the like button to learn more about the Ferrari cars and about the Autolux podcast in all its entirety. And after that, stop by the website, read some of the reviews, check out some of the ratings, and go to the Corporate Links website page and find automobile companies from around the globe, big or small. We have them all broken down into subsegments and even countries to make it easier for you to find the car companies that you are looking for. On top of that, use our Google search app to track down any of the special vehicles you are looking for, all on the Autolux website. The Autolux podcast is brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by Podbeam.com. If you'd like to get in touch with either the host of the Autolux podcast, Mr. Everett J. himself, or the Autolux podcast as a whole, send us an email over at email@autolux.net. So for myself, Everett J., the Autolux podcast, strap yourself in for this one comfortable and yet amazingly fast Grand Touring product from Ferrari. We'll be right back.